the asset, the fleet we have in space, because we are responsible for the emissions coming from these equipment. We need to provide the technology to reduce the emission.
Hi, 各位 Kira 的听众，大家好，欢迎来到 Leading Ladies 的单元。我是主持人 Tiffany， 也是 Kira 的创办人。在30分钟的节目中，透过我和各产业女性领导者的对话，了解目前各种趋势议题，如多元共融的领导力、组织或管理的规模化、新时代理财、永续经营、成长性思维等讨论，以及更具全球视野的产业观点，和我们一起打造你的影响力，成为你想象的领袖。嗨，各位 Kira 的听众，欢迎回到 Leading Ladies 的单元。我们今年刚刚举办一晚非常非常成功的一个国际妇女节的论坛。我们在论坛里面呢，讨论了很多今年对于这些领袖来说很重要的趋势议题。那第三个 panel 非常受到观众的欢迎，因为我们讨论了所谓的 renewable energy, energy transition 等等这些议题。那这个议题呢，在台湾这几年呢，我们有非常多的优势，也有很多的机会点。这次 Panel 3呢，我们也特别邀请到了 GE 的亚洲去减碳长来跟我们分享，结果叫好叫座，所以我们紧急请他继续在台湾来跟我们录音。所以我们今天非常荣幸的欢迎到了呢 Katsang 来跟我们分享。那在开始之前，我们来先请 Katsang 来介绍一下自己。Hello, Katsang.
Hi, Tiffany.
I was just telling everyone that we had such a successful International Women's Day Summit. The discussions that you led with Marina and Gwen was so inspiring and insightful that there's so many audience that were asking us, requesting us to invite you back Great. To talk more about this knowledge. So before we start, I would love to have you as GE's Asia Decarbonization Leader. Such a difficult title to pronounce. So Katsunari Fukui-san, I will have Cuts to introduce yourself a little bit first to the audience who haven't get to know you.
Certainly. And Tiffany and the Kira team, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For inviting me for this event today. Mm-hmm. And also for the event on Saturday as well. It was
thank
a
you.
Truly inspirational event with such an energetic audience, keen to learn about the topic.And truly happy to be back here.
There were so many tough questions that
Certainly,
day, right?
Yeah, very smart, intelligent audience. So my name is Kats Fukui. Mm-hmm. I currently manage the decarbonization for gas power for based out of Singapore. I've been with GE for the last 17 years, mm-hmm. working in the energy sector throughout the time.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think what was fascinating about your background that you are a mechanical engineer.
That's correct.
But also a business.
Certainly.
Trained at business school.
Yeah.
So you have like a very complete angle towards this matter, toward the energy transition matter, right? So I think before we start, because it's such a big topic, I wanted to ask you some myths that I want to,
sure.
you know,bust, because you are the expert in this. Can you give us three myths about energy transition for us to know that they're actually wrong?
So many things. I think this industry is evolving very fast. Loads of knowledge is coming through, technology developing. And I think it's important that we continue to learn and also have our own view in this space and not to believe just a high level perspective, right? And it's on that front, three myths that I typically see.Number one is that renewable is solution to all. Easy to say, let's bring solar, wind, and all the problems are gone. Unfortunately, because of the availability of sun and wind, that's not the case.
So we cannot solve our current energy usage by just saying, let's do renewable energy.
That's correct. So renewable certainly is a very important part of the solution.But together with that, you need other technology, whether it's the battery or the other gas technology to...
The old school ones.
Exactly, to balance the whole system.
So it's a portfolio, right?
Exactly.
It's a portfolio of new technology and the old existing technology.
You put it quite right. And then everyone would like to have a silver bullet on the solution, but unfortunately it requires a portfolio of solutions and every incremental piece is making the total difference, right?
Okay, so what's the second myth that we can bust?
So second one, I think topical one is hydrogen.
That's a key word.
Everyone likes to talk about hydrogen, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful technology. And certainly there's a future, and everyone is developing, including ourselves as well. However, for big infrastructure to build up, it will take a time. So we got to be realistic about the timing of this technology coming through. Very easy to, again, be hopeful to say that's the solution today. Unfortunately, not the solution immediately. So again, there will be a time span and we have to work through.
What's the time span that you think we're expecting?
So that's the whole industry is trying to find out at the moment, Tiffany. Yeah, so it all depends on the level of investment, level of a policy framework to drive this, and that will determine how soon this can be scaled enough infrastructure.
But there's hope,
definitely.
Sounds like.
Definitely.
And the last myth, because you mentioned quite a bit on the first and second one about the actual, in reality, if it's something that we have the infrastructure to support these new technologies and to implement them. So I'm guessing the third myth would be something similar to what you've mentioned.
Yeah. So third myth is around the this trilemma of sustainability, availability, and affordability.
Mm.
Right? It's very easy to think that we can have one dimension and then we'll be safe.
Yeah.
So everyone likes to go for sustainability, right? Let's have sustainability. However, that means that you have to sacrifice the affordability piece. It's going to be very expensive. And the reliability piece as well, just like we talked about renewable-only solution. So this trilemma, we always have to balance this affordability, sustainability, reliability. And then you saw the example last year in how quickly one dimension changed to another.
Right.
Europe was very strong on sustainability.
Right.
Once that became an issue, the energy security became an issue, quickly the shifts in the dynamics. Right. So I think we have to be cognizant that this trilemma, you cannot just have one dimension and you got to balance these three.
I really like what you said because sustainability is such a fancy keyword for the advanced countries.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's really the affordability for other people. If they're able to afford such a high-priced energy, and energy and electricity is such a basic right for everyone, and it's so needed.
And then I like the point you raised, Tiffany. If you think globally today, 770 million people without proper access to electricity.
Yeah.
You know, for us, just like you said, it's electricity is a human right.
Mm-hmm.
And to have no access for these people, of course, the accessibility, right, affordability becomes a key factor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be cognizant of that.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's why we wanted to invite you to talk about such a big but important topic, because the whole world, especially Taiwan, there's an edge, obviously, there. And we're talking about energy transition a lot. What does it actually mean, and where is Asia standing today?
Yeah. So if you see globally, there is a global emission of CO2 today. We talk about 34 gigaton. And of that, Asia is 19 gigaton. So more than half is coming from Asia. And Asia, we struggle a lot because of the dependency on coal. So we're highly emission-heavy industry. And also, Asia is growing. So a lot of power demand is coming from Asia as well, right? So actually,
we're still building a lot of
absolutely.
Things, right?
And then that requires energy, and that requires affordable energy, and then that's a challenge.
Right. And so you talked about gigaton. You used this measurement. And I kind of want to bring it to general public to understand what type of unit is that and how do we... Because I had this interesting fact that I heard a couple of days ago is that no matter how much lights that we turn off, how much... bikes that we use instead of how many times of bikes that we ride instead of driving our own car. It's such a low emission that we're creating comparing to the whole bigger semiconductor industry or all these other industries that are quite energy heavy. So what is this unit of gigaton? How can we bring it to a more, you know, everyday imagination?
Yeah. So one gigaton basically is one with nine zeros behind, right? Ton of the weight we're talking about. So, sorry, I shouldn't say ton. So if I repeat again, it's basically one with 90 grams of the weight of the material.
Okay.
Right? So that's the amount of the CO2 volume we talk about.
Wow.
And so it's quite significant. Now, even without actually paying attention to what the number is, I think it's important to realize that we have the budget on how much carbon we can emit today before we can contain the societal temperature rise,
right?
To 1.5 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the dimension, we only have 11 years left.
Yes.
In current rate.
Right.
We only have 11 years left before we exceed our budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an important thing for people to realize.
Mm-hmm. And then I think you talked about the carbon emission, which everybody knew, kind of knew about the net zero goal that we're setting. I think some people says 2030, some people says 2050. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this general consensus among most of the nations in the world?
That's a great question. And then that's the one which everyone struggles. So every time a COP meeting comes up,
they changed it a little bit.
Quite right. And then that's a very delicate balance, right? Each government is trying to play. But generally speaking, every country is targeting 2050 as a target. Taiwan is one of them. Some countries say 2060, 2070, but generally 2050 is the target for most of the advanced economies. Mm-hmm. And here comes the challenge, right? Between now and 2050, how do we make sure that we will decarbonize all the, not only the power sector, but industry, transportation sector across the board, right? So we have a huge challenge ahead of us.
27 years. We only have 27 years
That's
left.
Right.
Wow. And this is not your first trip to Taiwan, right?
That's correct.
What is your takeaway from your visit? Because I think during this visit, you get to really, you participated in our summit to really share more of the industry knowledge. You also met with a lot of the stakeholders or, you know, partners, suppliers, and all the partners you guys work with. What is your takeaway? And because we really want to know what is the edge that Taiwan has right now that so many multinational energy players are coming to Taiwan to invest and growing this community.
Definitely. And then Taiwan, I think, is a very unique case. Even now, Taiwan is transitioning the portfolio of energy mix. So that's why we're working very significantly on the gas power front as well as you see offshore renewable developing quite rapidly. So within the dynamics, I think Taiwan has got the edge in terms of doing this transition and also working on the decarbonization element. And I was very encouraged by various stakeholders we met, whether it's our utility players, independent power producers, government representatives. Everyone has got a good foresight in terms of the challenge we're facing today. And Taiwan already established a 2050 target. And it's very clear everyone the mandate is there. And I was very encouraged in terms of the, how different players are thinking about this. Now what we require is the policy to back and support the industry to move forward. And I think Taiwan would be a unique case in doing this trilemma balance. Taiwan is dependent on energy from outside.
Right.
So security becomes very important.
Yes.
Availability becomes very important. Mm-hmm. Also, Taiwan has a semiconductor industry, which is highly dependent on reliable supply of power. And then energy price-wise, we cannot go up too high. Right. It's already high enough in Taiwan. So all these dimensions, then bring in the sustainability dimension. So I think Taiwan is already on a good track in terms of going there. It's just now actions, right, we need.
That would be quite interesting if Taiwan can be one of the pioneer or success case in terms of the three pillars that you mentioned about of this balancing test of sustainability, reliability, and affordability, right? And so how, what else can we do or what else does Taiwan have that we can potentially be a leader in this energy transition? Let it be the technology or the talent pool or just geographically. What is it that's there for us?
Yeah. And I think that's an important point, Tiffany. And we saw during the event as well, tremendous interest from a generation of audience, be it in different industry. Everyone cares about sustainability piece and everyone's willing to contribute.
Right.
Now, this energy transition needs everyone to participate. This is not just for a small group of people to sort it out. And it's actually a very exciting environment too. This includes not only technology, but geopolitical dimensions, the commerce, business has to make the right economics work. And all these dimensions come together. So it's a highly exciting environment. And for that, we need a talent, right? Good group of talents. And then in our company as well, we've been spending a lot of time around working on the diversity, equity, and inclusion element. And the event you hosted the other day, I think really crystallized this linkage between energy transition requiring all talent. What is company doing to bring talent inclusion, right? And in the Taiwan office alone as well, we have a pretty diverse talent in the office. We have a representative from France, Malaysia, right, different countries, and different types of people working, and not only the engineers, to make this power project work.
Mm-hmm. And I think you brought up a really interesting piece because people know that the energy transition journey is happening and the whole energy sector right now is like the next semiconductor industry, right? It's so it right now. Lots of investments, lots of opportunities. But then we might have this myth thinking that if you're not a technical background person, like even for me, it took me these opportunities really ask from an expert like you to understand what's going on with the energy sector, right? There's so many keywords, so many knowledge that's going on. If someone is interested in this energy, what would you advise them to do to maybe equip themselves to be more qualified, you know, to participate and become one of this journey?
No, great point, Tiffany. And then a really platform like this you're providing for us, I think it's a great one to make sure that everyone understands this topic. And then important element is for each of us to take interest on this and then understand so that we don't go with a simplistic view of a solution, right? Just like the three misses we talked about.
Yeah.
If you study this space, you get to that. And then you don't have to be technical expert to demystify these pieces. So I really encourage everyone to read around it, understand, participate in events like one you hosted. And then, and to your point, we really need a diverse talent, whether it's in government policy area, communications, of course, technical resources, as well as commercial resources to make these projects happen.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of project managers that's going on and a lot of people who needs to kind of influence and communicate between stakeholders.
That's correct.
So these are the roles that are also the non-technical roles that could be.
Absolutely. And then that's our role too. We have knowledge on the technology side. To the policymaker, we have to bring the right technology so that they can make the right decision. We are lucky that our company has got a portfolio of solutions. So we're not advocating just one solution just because we have one. We can offer any solutions across the portfolio.
A more holistic view.
Exactly. And then question is what's best for the country? What's best for the Taiwan? And then make sure the policymakers are equipped with this knowledge to make the right decision, right?
Definitely. I wanted to go back to your title because it's very interesting role that is created probably because of this transition, right?
Exactly.
You're at GE for over 17 years, right? When did you became the Asia decarbonization leader? And what does this role entail? And what's so interesting about this role? Because every day what you do is decarbonizing the footprints, right?
No, great point. And thank you for raising the point. And actually, so I've always been fascinated with the commercialization of technology to make society better. So back to your point you made earlier, I studied the technical engineering side. I studied the business so that I can get the technology out to the society. And then to me, this role is perfectly that kind of opportunity.
Right.
And then to your point, this role was created last year.
Oh, only last year. So cool.
But it doesn't mean that we haven't been working in this space.
Yeah,
we have been
definitely.
Working in this space. And I actually worked on this space 10 years ago once.
Yeah.
But the market wasn't ready. And then now, with all the discussion and focus on sustainability, market is ready. Right. So we're seriously going behind this one. And you're right. I think in this role, important point is that how do we decarbonizing the asset, the fleet we have in space? Because we are responsible for the emissions coming from these equipment. We need to provide the technology to reduce the emission for these technologies, right? So
what's the most interesting part of your role? Because there's a lot of communication, there's a lot of engagement, and there's a lot of technology part that you probably need to check and kind of educate. What's the most interesting part?
Yeah, I love the complexity of it, Tiffany, in terms of this is not just technology only, and how these will get implemented at different time frame. And according to that, we change our activities as well. Right. And so just opportunity to really understand what's going on at the depth at each country, and also opportunity to engage with various stakeholders to map out and really planning the future. And then really also appreciate this kind of opportunity to engage with a broader audience, right? So that we can get the interest in the energy sector across a broader audience as well.
And so lastly, I would love to ask you, because since you said that the general public, it's important to have the consensus and awareness from the general public. As a person, as an individual, that we're not working for an energy company or I'm not part of the supply chain or anything, what can I do to contribute of what you're saying to really help the world better, to help the transition of energy, or just to decarbonize my daily life.
Yeah. And I think it comes back to every actions you take, right? Every small things you do, every purchasing decision you make has got an impact here, however small it may be. And also the big impact is you elect your government, right? And then that's a very important thing too. And how do you make sure that these people coming into the power has got the right knowledge in the front, right?
Thank you. I still wanted to learn more about your role, because apparently if this just created last year, means that there's so much demand that your company, G is a dinosaur, right? But the dinosaur decided to create a brand new department and role just to focus on decarbonization within Asia. Please let me know. Please lead us through your day-to-day life.
Sure.
A typical day for you, what do you do? Do you check the carbon emission every day? Or?
So thank you for that. Great question. And you know, I love my role for the kind of span of activities I get involved in, right? So from elements such as the business development aspect, getting our strategy together for each of the countries, and then with understanding of technology. Communicating with the global team to make sure the GE broader strategy is aligned to the region. And then getting out to the field, talking to multiple stakeholders, right? And then really understanding where their minds is at, and also conveying, influencing, working together with them in that dimension. And also working with the internal team as well.
Yeah.
This is not, again, only technical team, commercial team, communications, government affairs, in trying to shape. And it's so much opportunity to shape these things.
Right.
So much freedom, actually.
Yeah.
There's no day which is the same. And every day is about creating new ideas. And everything is possible at this stage, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, all has to make a business sense. Mm-hmm. But just the opportunity to go and explore, learn, create something new in dinosaur industry. That's the exciting part, Tiffany. Yes.
And let's not sugarcoat that. I would love to ask you, what frustrates you, though? Because you just said that you have to influence and you have to educate these latest technologies and, you know, in a holistic view, and also to remind them the reality that, you know, not just working on one aspect would work, right? So what frustrates you? Is there any challenge when it comes to, you know, managing the stakeholders or trying to influence them?
No, that's a great point, Tiffany. And then again, I come from a technical background.
Yeah.
So even when you have a solution, which is makes perfect rational sense, doesn't get commercialized because of the policy environment or the environment is not, market is not correct. So there's always a dimension. And you see this example in different industries as well, right? Certainly that's, you say, frustration.
Right.
And that's something which we have to work through so that that kind of situation doesn't happen. And then also, of course, the big organization. Good thing is that it's very powerful.
Right.
Like we talked about portfolio of solutions. Mm-hmm. We can go after everything. Mm-hmm. But also there's a limitation too.
Mm.
We cannot move as fast as the startups.
Right.
And there is a constraints in terms of what we can do, we cannot do. So even if I want to do something, if the company strategy is not such, then we have to. So it's a fine balance of between the two. So I think it's down to, of course, individuals to choose, right? To me, the scale of organization and then the potential impact it can have is very exciting for me.
Yes,
it is. And then for that, I'm willing to work within the constraints, but maximize what we can do, right?
Do you look at startups that provide these technologies as well?
Definitely, yeah. And there was time I spent assessing startups, who we can partner with, right? They work together. And certainly there are many, many out there working through. And that's fascinating. And that's the beauty of it as well, right?
Yeah, because GE sounds like a platform too. Like you get to really invite different partners that work on different parts of your holistic solution to really together kind of able to have that energy transition possible.
And you bring a great point, Tiffany. This one, we need a partnership. This energy transition is not something one company can do. And for that, being able to work with different companies. So part of my job is a partner with other major players, right? To make sure that we bring each other's strengths and then bring the right solution in place.
So lastly, I think for this transition that foreseeable amount of time takes quite a while, you need the next generation to join. So what's the last takeaway you will give our next generation of talents, whether to participate as an individual or to join the team? What's one last takeaway you will give them?
Yeah. And I really encourage everyone to take a look at this energy industry. So easy to look at the, you know, history. You may think it's old, But inside, there's lots of new things happening, just like the new role we talked about today. And the role is exciting. It's global in nature. I travel quite extensively, looking across different countries. And the opportunity to make a change is huge, right? And within the organization as well, you have opportunity to play different types of role along career. So 17 years for me sounds long, but again, never same year. And I never get bored of day-to-day activities here, right? So if you're somebody who is interested in making career out of the industry, this is a great industry, which again, we talked about 2050 target.
Yeah.
We still don't have a solution.
Yeah.
So certainly we have a career to that point and beyond.
Yeah, that's another 17 years for you to work on.
I'll try hard.
Thank you. Thank you, Katsu-san, for coming here to enlighten us with more of these. And I really think from the summit, what you share, and from today's conversation, we get to know more about the energy transition and how that this would really be the next semiconductor industry. And it's very happening. So we would love to have this knowledge to equip our listeners, let them be the leaders or the emerging talents to be able to take part in this journey. So thank you again, Katsu-san. We hope to revisit this topic sometime soon.
We'd love to do that. And thank you so much, Tiffany, again, for providing a great platform.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, 大家喜欢这集的内容吗？欢迎在 Apple Podcast、Spotify 或本集描述中最底下的连结帮我们评分留言，让我们知道你的想法。除了 Podcast 外 ，Careher 更策划了很多很棒的线下活动，每个月都有各式主题活动，从小型亲密的商业主题 Salon 到集结商业领袖的大型论坛，甚至是夏日论坛，以及是年末会员专属的 Gala 参会。透过这些活动，会员还能独家享受 Think Tank 内容以及邀请制的圆桌聚餐。更多详情，请点击本集描述中成为 Careher 会员了解。